This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Hello, good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hiya, how are you all doing? This is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for joining us, whether you are watching on YouTube, watching on Catch Up, or listening via your favourite podcast platform. Welcome along. If you are watching live, join in the chat with us. And if you are watching on Catch Up, add the comments below on the YouTube channel. And if you're Leeds fans, and there's a hell of a lot of them watch us at the moment, hello. Right, okay, welcome along. Cheers, everybody. By the way, if anyone... Thatcher's still. I'm still drinking Thatcher's. I'm going to drink myself into an early grave unless Thatcher sponsor me. I need that after last night, I'll tell you. We'll come on to that later. Ronald is in. Good evening, Ronald. How are you? Hi, Highfields. And John is in. Good evening to you as well. I thought, what can I do? Because this is the first of two shows this evening. I'll come on to the second one in a little bit. But I thought, my two favourite people who I could get onto the first show. And I sent out the invitations. Neither of them were available. So we're going to start the first show with a bit of Kate and a bit of Dave.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
Indeed. Oh, in fact, I've just got to make sure here, got to keep these two separate. There we go. Lizzie, I saw the smile on Dave's face there when we started. He thought, I'm back in. Kate, first of all, hello. This is a request for this, by the way, Dave, that I do this. Kate, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm very well. And I'm chilling. I am chilling now. It's all calmed down. Dave, I have to go to ladies first, but to yourself.
You do. I'm fine, thank you. Apart from, that time of year cold. Actually, it's not that time of year, is it?
No.
How ridiculous is that?
But it's an excuse. If you've got a cold, an excuse to have a hot toddy.
When is that time of year?
Kate, what's he on about? I have no idea.
Time of year is, when do you get a cold?
Well, in the UK, it's just called the year.
Yeah.
Anything else? He started early today, hasn't he? He started earlier. John said, could be another flirtation. All I will say is, I just want to, I do want to show you this. First of all, Dave, how many emails a day do you reckon you get?
Hundreds.
Honestly. What is it like being so popular? Have you not told the Palace to stop emailing you yet?
Yeah, can't get rid of them.
You can block them, you know.
Yeah, I know.
But he might say that he didn't see my email that I sent yesterday, and he had to be put in his place by Kate. So, quite right.
Sunday.
It was just a gentle nudge. It did throw me off yesterday. You were very premature, Chris. I'm sure you've heard that a lot.
It's been said before.
Yeah, we normally get the message about 5 minutes before the show.
And you normally complain about that as well. I can't win.
Yeah, but there's a sort of in between there, believe it or not.
Do you know, Kate, that there's a certain age when sort of people get old and get into that moaning about everything. Like, oh, it's raining this morning. Oh, it's sunny this afternoon.
That's just men in general.
Oh, cold.
Ooh. Anyway, Dave, how are we going? Are we going to do
We're great. Yeah, really good. Good to see you, Chris.
I don't want to upset you, Dave. But as I did say, this is the first of two shows, and I will be pushing this later. I'm really looking forward to this. At 9 o'clock this evening, as an extra show, we've got Gavin McGow on. Now, you're probably thinking, who the hell is Gavin McGow? He's an ex-director of marketing and communications at the Football League. He's the gentleman that I had a row with last night on national television, but has very kindly accepted the challenge to come on and talk to us about everything from that side. And I'll be honest with you, Kate, we don't really know a lot from that side because it's all like secret handshakes and tickling balls and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody's in the dark, I think. So it'd be interesting to see what he has to say as a former communications director.
It is. Whoops, let me just press the right button. Dave, I think you know, it might explain one or two things as well.
No comment.
Well, talking about explaining one or two things, I know I've joked about you stalking Kate before now, but what are you doing that much that Kate was trending the other day?
Oh, hang on. Keep forgetting to put you on big. There you go. I saw that about.
You were obviously tweeting that much that she was kating. She was trending.
Kating.
Kating. Is that a new word?
Well, was that in relation to Princess Kate? I feel like that was the day before.
No, that was to do with you, Kate. I'm sure that was Dave tweeting and searching you and sending you messages, you know.
Well, I don't do Twitter, do I?
Yes, you do. You got a Twitter address, so don't deny it. Okay. Yes. You don't know what it is. Kate had to send it me, but you have got a Twitter. Plus, on the other side, Dave, How long would you say we've known each other?
Seems a long time.
It does, doesn't it? Would you say it's as long as this?
Oh God.
Now, I for the radio station, which is my other job, I do a lot of these face swaps as jokes.
I thought you'd forgotten about this.
No. So you've got me as Freddie Mercury being out of Time Warp and all this sort of joking thing. And I did this one because I was on holiday the week before last and Dave sat in for me. I mean, what, Dave? Next time, can you put a towel on the seat? It's still a bit damp. And I did this of, I thought very cleverly, and it's very good, of me and Dave as Chaz and Dave, you see. It's Chris and Dave. And I sent this to Kate saying, do you recognise these people? And she replied with a great comment, bloody hell, you two have known each other a long time, haven't you?
I hope I'm sitting down.
Oh, I genuinely thought that was the proper picture.
Thank you. I obviously, my editing skills are slightly better than Princess Kate's.
Well, I've never had that many hairs on my chest.
I
haven't worn braces since I was about 15.
You are, let me just ask you a question. You are blonde, aren't you, Kate?
Yeah, not naturally, though, but maybe that's just literally.
Yes.
Excuse me?
What?
Oh, he's off you now. He knows you're not a blonde.
Well, now I was thinking, how does that relate to that picture?
Because blondes aren't exactly...
What?
I can't say it without getting sued by blondes everywhere and getting cancelled.
I think the stereotypical joke is that blondes aren't quick on the uptake, and I have just demonstrated that fact, really.
Oh, I see. So it's a sexist thing.
No, it's just about being blonde. It's male and female.
Well, I'm blonde.
Well, you're not here. You're silver.
Oh, thank you, darling. You're bronze.
This is going to be a long show if we have to explain.
It can't be. You got another gig at 9 o'clock.
I know. I'm hoping we'll get started. Right. If you have already seen it, now is the time to go and get a cup of tea or go to the toilet or water the plants. They'd actually had Rick Parry on, who was the EFL chairman. I really was hoping that they would keep him on for when I went on, but they got rid of him, then got rid of Nick Palios, who also used to be a chairman of something. But they kept these two guys on, one of which is Gavin, who I'm going to be with later, ex-director of communications at the EFL. And the other gentleman is a director or ex-director of Brentford Football Club. This is what happened. Can I just say, it was never me that ever said, don't make me angry. You won't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, dear.
Andrew Mills and Gavin McGaw still with me on our hour tonight, looking at the Football Governance Bill and the Independent Football Regulator. Andrew, I'll let bring you in here, if I may, as well, at this point, along with Gavin, just to say of what you've heard tonight so far as well. Is it just that the Premier League really won't like any of this, won't try to buy into any of this? Do you think this is going to cause a major problem?
Well, I don't see any drastic change. I mean, again, there's been a trickle-down effect of a number of changes over the last few years, which is starting to bite the Premier League a little. I want to be slightly... thinking outside the box, I want to be slightly controversial. Where did the problem start? The problem started when the Premier League cut itself adrift. What happened? The Premier League cut itself adrift and therefore had no responsibilities to the success of the EFL. And ever since that day, it's the EFL has had to dilute itself or its powers in trying to kind of keep attached to the Premier League. You know, perhaps what they should be looking at is actually attaching a responsibility for a successful EFL to the Premier League. Mm. Make them responsible for that. If they aren't and can't do that, then again, what worries me is we we gloss over it. And I don't mean you two gents. I mean myself and a number of the guests that have been in these rooms gloss over the fact that the distribution of funds is, as Rick said, as Mark said, it's 80% to the Championship, 12% to League One, 8% to League Two. Mm. The disparity in those numbers is absolutely ridiculous. That's the cause, the whole cause, for the problem that we have. Even if we had businesses being run correctly, there'd still be a disparity because the numbers are so significantly far away from each other. And that also tells you what level of importance was put on the various divisions. And that shows us all we really need to know when it comes to these conversations.
Chris Forion is Leicester Till I Die, Leicester City Football Club. Good evening to you, Chris. Do join in the conversation here. I mean, Leicester City, of course, somehow the club that managed to beat the so-called top six in and win, as you did in that fantastic season, the Premier League. But of course, things beginning to once more go wrong, and finance being at the bottom of all of this.
It is, and I've got to say, I've heard nothing tonight from any of the guests that have been on in the last hour that convinces me as a football fan that things are going to get any better. Nobody's bothered about us football fans. We all heard, oh, you know, when it was COVID, or we missed the fans. You know, we got kickoffs at some unearthly time because somebody sold our soul to the TV companies. We've had Rick Parry. Honestly, have you ever heard as much BS as that? This is the guy, when he was at Liverpool, set up the Premier League, set up a £700 million deal with Sky to broadcast. And then he sat there crying in his milk. I mean, you know, it should be, you know, we have these owners come in. We're being charged by the Premier League. We're being charged by the EFL. It's all behind closed doors. What are they scared of? If we've done something wrong, we'll pay. Mm. We will pay whatever it's points deduction, if it's a fine. If we've done, you know, been found to do something wrong, that is fine. What gets us annoyed as fans is the fact that these people don't tell us what's going on. We've said, let's do it publicly. Leicester City have said, we've had to now, you know, take the EFL and the Premier League, take legal action against them. We're happy for it to be out as a club in the open, but no, you know, and that's, yes, get this investigator in as soon as possible. Maybe he'll bring some clarity, and maybe us as fans can actually understand what's going on.
Well, let's hope, Chris, and you make some really good points there. Let's ask both Andrew and first Gavin, your response to Chris.
I think Chris makes a lot of great points there, Chris. But what I would say, we're talking here about a regulator. We're talking here about Leicester City. And Leicester City signed up to rules. And as Chris said, if they've got it wrong, if they've overreached it, they need to pay up for those rules. And that's why there's an independent person in charge of the commission overseeing it, which is taking the time. And it's not good for Chris. But if it wasn't, then we would have even more problems. And just go back to what Andrew was saying earlier about where this all started with the regulator. I don't think it started actually over Premier League EFL distributions. It started when Bury went under, Mark, and that led to problems in Downing Street, where they got frustrated with the idea of Bury, a little football team, going out of business, and how that was wrong whenever the Premier League had so much money, misunderstanding that it was the actions of a very bad owner. Now, if you look at what's happening in Leicester, Leicester aren't going to go out of business. They have, in effect, had they're getting sanctioned for falling outside the rules that they agreed to. But they are not going out of business.
Well, hang on there. Gavin, finish.
So I think that's a different thing. And I think it is, though, positive that we're now catching up with teams who don't reach the profit and sustainability rules. It will take time, but that provides some sustainability. But Bury and the reason this whole regulator is in place are completely different in my mind.
Chris? Can I just come back and say, we didn't sign up for this. This was pushed through this season, this extra fast tracking clubs. We're not in the Premier League this season. You
signed up to the rules about losses in the Premier League. And
we are being charged because we've not produced our accounts. Well, according to the new rules, we don't have to. We did not sign up to those super fast rules. And if this is the case, what's happening with Manchester City? What's happening with Chelsea? Why are Everton, Nottingham Forest, Leicester, and who knows what other small clubs being picked on? It's bully boy tactics by the EFL, by the Premier League.
Chris, Andrew, come in here and add to this.
I'm enjoying the spectacle. Only because I think, again, what Chris is doing, Chris is raising his honest concerns with the manner and the way which this is all communicated. What Gavin is trying to do, Chris, is suggest that, as unpalatable as it now is, there would have been a block of rules and regulations that all member clubs would have understood and would have known. However, there has absolutely been a change in how they're dealt with. There's a change in the severity and the speed. But I don't think this is behind the reasoning to Leicester being charged. Now, you have absolutely got a point, and Mark, Gavin and I have made this point several times in terms of Chelsea, in terms of Manchester City, because if I was sitting there as a Leicester fan, I'd feel exactly the same. I would want to be charged by exactly the same rule book.
Gavin,
and Forest hasn't been either.
So, Gavin, just very quickly, how quickly we're under a minute here now. How quickly can this happen?
That often depends, Mark, on the club and what they're willing to put forward. We've seen the Forest thing happen a lot quicker than the original Everton thing, which has led to a less severe penalty for Forest. But undoubtedly, they'll want to do this well ahead of the June date of the Premier League AGM, so they'll know who's coming in and then what punishments are in place.
And secondly, when do we see a regulator in control?
Oh, I think that'll take some time. So I think certainly by the end of the year, we'll see a lot more firm action on that. Appointment of a chief exec probably in the next 3 months.
Gavin, thank you. Andrew, thank you. Chris Forian, thank you very much indeed.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts. Including Leicester Till I Die. Independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans for the fans. Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
And Kate can't hear me. Let me try that one again. First of all, I forgot to pull myself back in. Then I forgot to turn my volume on. I had a bit of a rant there, didn't I, Kate?
Yes, you did. You got a bit fiery, but that's what we like to see, really, isn't it? Because if no one else is going to fight our corner, we've got to do it for ourselves. I think there was a massive point missed in that. I think they keep thinking that we're objecting the breach. I'm not objecting the breach, because if we have breached, it's indefensible. But it's just the way that the rules are being perpetuated onto other clubs and whether that's being done lawfully or not.
I mean, that was the point I was trying to make when I said, you know, if we've done wrong, we'll take a fine, we'll take the points deduction, whatever, you know, and I said that. But like you say, that this kind of glossed over that. Your thoughts, Dave?
I thought you were brilliant. In fact, I was dreading the worst. The worst. When you told me what you'd done, I thought, oh, my God. You know, we're all going to be banned.
Just check my. I just send my card details over to you. Thank you very much.
Bing! Got it. No, I thought it was brilliant. And I think the point about Rick Parry is a classic. He's a two-faced, arrogant scouse. And he always has been. You've noticed over the years, he's always gone, you know, double back and said things and then gone back on it. Never changed. And you're right. He was the one that started all that.
Did you see, Dave, the smile on Mark Sagan's face
when I
actually said that? It was like, I know. And if you read...
They all know what he's like. He wanted to be the people's champion of football.
Mm.
I don't even know how long ago it was. It was in the 80s. He was sort of spouting all this stuff off.
Well, this is what it says on, and I know it's Wikipedia, so I know it goes swings both ways, a bit like yourself, Dave.
Yeah, good point.
As chief executive, Parry oversaw the development of the Premier League into one of the top professional football competitions in the world. Increased attendances, blah, blah, blah. During his last 12 months at Lancaster Gate, he brokered the biggest ever television deal in the history of UK sport, with BSky being the BBC, offering a package in excess of £700 million for Premier League broadcasting rights. That's when it all started to go wrong, wasn't it, Kate? Because for me, that's when the money was started to come in and the Premier League started to think they were God's gift.
Yeah, money started to wash over everything, really, and it makes people greedy. It makes them lose sight of reality. And particularly in sport, it's lost the essence of what the English Football League is, and that's where it's competitive. People can climb up the food chain without precedent, without judgment, without any sort of biased nature. That's why trophies like the League Cup was introduced, and why the FA Cup was introduced, because it wanted to encourage competition, fair competition amongst the full 92 and the FA Cup below the 92. So we all knew Sky was amazing when it came on the scene. It changed everybody's lives in terms of football coverage, but when you started to hear the silly wages that were being introduced, I mean, was it Trevor Francis who was the first £1 million player?
Yeah.
I mean, that just seems like an absolute drop in the ocean now, doesn't it? And that was big money at the time.
I can remember us paying £5 million for Adi Akinbaye and thinking, not knowing exactly how he would play, but thinking, my God, my team paying £5 million, and I think we'd paid almost that for Mark Draper. And, you know, that would just be a drop in the ocean. You know, we're thinking 14 million for Fataru. We're thinking, oh, that's cheap. You know, it's got to a ridiculous point.
And it's not sustainable. You can't sustainably, like signing Slimani for nearly 30 million. Some of these wages, we spoke about Haaland being on 650 grand a week. It's literally monopoly money. It's not, it's not real.
Yeah. Dave, I want to just read you something.
Thank you.
Jack and Jill went up the hill. This was from the Independent. You see, I don't just read the Star and the Sun. I do read other newspapers. This is from Independent. It goes back to 2020, and it's written by a gentleman who's here we go, Miguel Delaney. Wednesday, the 12th of February, 2020. And he titled it How Modern Football Became Broken Beyond Repair. And he starts it off with, in quotation marks, "We don't want too many Leicester cities." These are the words spoken by a senior figure from the Premier League's Big Six clubs in the kind of high-end London hotel you can easily imagine. Football history suggests fans like big teams winning, the official continued, to a group of business people and media figures present. A certain amount of unpredictability is good, and a more democratic league would be bad for business. What the hell? I mean, we've always suspected it, and I didn't realise this was out there until I did some Googling earlier. But, I mean, it's a stitch-up, isn't it? The whole thing is a stitch-up. And as far as I'm concerned, The Premier League, and to some degree with the Championship, the EFL, are in on it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Because, again, money. I mean, I don't blame Sky, actually. They took an opportunity and made a good business decision. I blame the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, those people who sacrificed our sport at every level, every sport we ever had that was on BBC and ITV on a Saturday and on a Monday and a Wednesday.
You can still get Crown Green Bowls.
Do you get topless darts, or is that on something else?
What's your point, Dave?
I just wanted to check, see if it was on tonight.
That was the Mirror Channel, wasn't it?
I don't know what it was.
Yeah, the Daily Mirror launched the channel. Yes, I believe.
The point is, BBC did it. Did it in a way that you couldn't tell to start with. ITV actually were up front and honest, said, well, we're not going to do sport anymore. We'll get rid of whatever it was called, World of Sport, or, you know, the one Dickie Davies used to do. BBC just cut back on things, so they didn't outbid. So we didn't get the Ashes. We didn't get Wimbledon now. We don't get golf. You know, all the top sports that are British, we don't get because they're sold out to Sky. This has happened in Australia. It has ruined sports out there.
Yeah.
Because you can't get those sort of things on non-pay-per-view.
No. Kate, I mean, it's literally, I mean, the BBC haven't got the money. When you look at their pointless daytime quiz today, the jackpot was £1,000. Over on ITV on The Chase, you could be playing for up to £70,000 each. You know, it's and then you got Sky, who have got the backing of a guy, you know, multimedia mogul. They literally just threw money at it just to outbid everybody else, didn't they? And it hasn't done anything for the game.
But what price do you pay for it, Chris? What price are we paying now? Eh? We can't go and watch our team when we want to. I was going to go down to Plymouth for the weekend. I can't get down there Friday night, 8 o'clock or whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, I can't. Lots of games when I had the season ticket last year, we missed a few because it was kickoffs had been moved to Tuesday night or Monday night or whatever. And driving up after work for Vicky was a nightmare. Couldn't do it. Yeah. And if we did, we wouldn't get back to 1 in the morning because of 8 o'clock kickoffs. They've screwed us big time. And, you know, and we're still getting full houses. That's the beauty. But that's nothing to do with Sky because it's banal. It's boring. The chatter in the mornings is pathetic. You know, they're trying to do this casual stuff now, but yeah, so what do you think about the game? And get over it, you know, grow up, be professional. It's crazy.
Okay, I'll let you get a word in now, as that question was.
Oh, sorry, but
No, I always like to hear what Dave's got to say.
You fibber.
Okay. Yeah, BBC's just, well, when they produce their salary this every year, everyone's in shock horror, aren't they? So they just choose where they want to deploy funds and where they don't want to deploy funds. But Sky have frustrated a lot of people. I don't have Sky anymore. I got rid of it about 6 months ago and I've had it in my life probably since I was about 15. So this is the first time I haven't got a Sky subscription because I just don't want to subscribe to Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher and watching top six boring football. Andy Gray and Richard Keys were absolutely revolutionary when it came out and they've gone really dry now. And I've really, really enjoyed Amazon's coverage in the December and March periods where they got they were stood by the pitch. They had the likes of Ali McCoist on, who's just so entertaining. Sky is really staid and really boring, but their prices keep going up each year. They tie you into an 18-month contract. And more frustratingly for everybody concerned from a football perspective, we are the only country in the world who cannot watch our own 3 o'clock kickoffs, which is insane.
Yes.
Absolutely insane. So Luke, the Aussie channel, if you guys have checked that out, he can watch 3 o'clock games and I can't.
And I think in fairness as well to Amazon, and even Channel 4, of course, they cover England now. It's not their fault that England are so boring. But, Kate, when you watch Amazon, they're not all about the big six. You know, Amazon put out, on Boxing Day, they put out every single game, or they put them out over two nights. Same time, same kickoff, just different channels or whatever that you click on. They do offer... And as I say, you don't listen to, I can remember if Leicester are playing at, say, 5:30, but before that, we're playing at 12 o'clock and following us at 3, it's Man United, Man City or something. We don't get a mention before our game because it's all about Man City and Man United. It is all that, but surely, and this will lead us on to why we spent the way we did, but surely, Dave, us winning the Premier League was probably one of the best things ever for the Premier League because it created even more worldwide interest.
Only for the people, not for the TV.
Well, it did for the club, but it created interest in the Premier League that wasn't already there.
Certainly around Europe, definitely.
Mm.
Because I went to Germany at one of the Christmas markets, Frankfurt. And there's a load of Frankfurt fans at one of the bars, and I had my fleece on, and you know, we suddenly mates because they're a similar sort of club to Leicester, you know, and they got dreams of winning the Bundesliga, and we'd won it. So What was that? Amazon losing their package?
Apparently so, Doug says. I haven't seen that.
I got the little thing. They get something like $6.5 billion. So Amazon lost their package. Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they went in this year because they've probably done their numbers and thought this is absolutely obscene money. Sky are so frightened of losing the football, because if they lose the football, it's probably 90% of their business.
But they've got all the Ashes, they've got the overseas cricket tours, they've got the rugby.
It doesn't produce quite the same numbers, though, does it?
Well, not on a regular basis, no.
No.
But, you know, I mean, the Open and the Masters is coming up next week.
But you wouldn't get as many viewers for that. You'd get, obviously, and I'm not saying that, you know, but golf is just not as much watched as football is.
And even with golf, you've only got, like, in the Masters, you've only got Amen Corner and three other holes, I think, for a long period of time, because the Americans nick all the rest of the 18.
Yeah.
It's not full coverage.
Doesn't it make you think or wish now that they've gone ahead with the bloody European League?
Well, is that a delusion to achieve? Well, you don't know.
We're all up in arms about it. We all moaned about it, and rightly so, because the fans of those clubs were, again, ripped off. Not only by Sky, who would have taken on the Super League because they've got TV in all European countries, but by the clubs.
Sorry, I was going to say, I love that comment. wouldn't be the first time Amazon had lost a package. Comment of the night so far.
But just going on Amazon, like, their coverage, what you were saying, Chris, is that it's menued, isn't it? Once the program's in progress, you can select to like the Leicester bits, or you can select the goals, or you can select each manager's interviews. It's so fair. If it's Leicester versus Burnley, I think I remember watching the Leicester versus Burnley match on Amazon, and it got completely 50-50 coverage. So I felt quite well versed about our opposition before the game started. Whereas now, like you say, you get about 5 minutes on Leicester Burnley with Sky, and then we're sat there talking about whether Man City will win the league or Liverpool. Like, I'm not here to watch that. And that really impacts fans and impacts, well, Leicester or Burnley might be interested for the kids coming through. They might want to support Leicester.
They don't even if they're from Leicester or Burnley, they're not going to get that chance. But I think, you know, the scary thing is that if people are turning off from Sky, and how many people have got these so-called sticks, that people are being charged for, etc., and having police knocking on the doors. Sky are in the process of, it will get to a point where people say, can't afford that anymore. And yes, they're trying to split it up into different, you know, BT or TNT or whatever it's called these days, but that's just more money because you've got to pay to that as well as Sky. But getting back to top, I've noticed in the, or our club, I've noticed in chat in general, and I don't know who it is, there's somebody that's causing a bit of a shit, comes in this chat, says something about another person in another group. I respond to that, he goes off and says to that person, oh, do you know Chris has been saying this about you, then that person contacts me. So, you know, somebody in the chat is being a bit of a shit stirrer, but then again, I suppose every club has them. But I put a thing out the other day, and the police came out, knocked on my door and said, please put it away. So I did. But I put a thing out the other day that said, we're back in top. And I thought it was a pretty fair thing to say. And as you can see there, if we are guilty, we are guilty. We'll take our punishment, blah, blah, blah. And then this gentleman said, he laughed at that comment and said, the man who got us in this mess. How thick are certain people in this particular case, Locks? They just forget how, where we would have been. If this gentleman, if Top had walked away when his dad passed, where would we be now? Other countries weren't not queuing up outside the KP saying, we want to buy you. You know, we're not Newcastle, we're not Manchester City, we're Leicester City.
Well, even if they were queuing up, they're not going to be any better than the people that we've had running the club for over a decade. I really don't understand. That's such a funny anonymous comment that you get quite often throughout Twitter by saying the man who got us in this mess. So explain yourself. What do you mean? The man who pumped 194 million quid into the team last year and converted the debt to equity. The man who's taken the mantle from his dad in the best way he can. The man who's tried his best to hire the best managers. Everybody wanted Brendan. He was absolutely the most desired man in the country at the time, and we got him. And he screwed us over. So we've gone for another punt, if you like, in a rookie manager who has done exceptionally well. So define what that means in this mess. And we don't know what the mess is. We don't know how constrained he is behind closed doors. I just hate people throwing accusations like that out there when they have zero facts. They're just so compounded and educated by the mainstream media. They can't see past it. They just believe everything that they're taught in the mainstream media. It really annoys me. Like, think outside the box. Have common sense with it.
Is this him?
Is he a washing powder or something? What's his name? Is it Lux or something?
Lux. But, I mean, he's not the only one. I'm going to bring a few more up in a minute in response to these things.
I don't think you should, Chris. I think you should ignore him.
Well, it's a whole show. If we do that, we've got no show.
Me and Kate will make a show up for you if you want.
Well, probably get more views if I'm honest with you. I mean, look, Dave, this guy, he's in his mid-20s, I think.
Okay, he's only a kid then.
He's not known what it used to be like. You know,
no, that's fair. He doesn't know
what life's like without Twitter.
No.
I do.
Only because they banned you off it. They invited Trump back, but you can't get back on.
I was talking about this on TV today about people that put these posts on Twitter because there's no comeback on them, really.
No, there's not.
I mean, do you know his name or anything?
No, that is his name, in fairness. But I don't hang on to about that. But just the whole thing. Is it right, Dave, trying to get you back on track here? Is it right that... That we're blaming Top, that we're turning on Top?
Of course it's not right. No, of course it's not right. I mean, we don't even know what we've done yet, do we? Really?
Guilty by social media, isn't it?
We haven't got the accounts out. I assume we've been punished for not getting our accounts on time, which is the wrong league. Is that right? So in under Premier League, we should have produced accounts before. That's where I read it from, listening to some of that stuff that was spouted on. But at the moment, we've done nothing wrong.
No.
When we've done something wrong, then let's talk about it. Let's sort us out then.
But isn't this the time, Kate, to be getting behind not just Top, but the management, the team, etc., and supporting them? He supported us. He has made sure, he's looked after us. Simple things, and I know not everybody's going to be happy because they don't go away, that they don't get a bacon butty, but you know what I'm saying, just little things like that, what they've done in the community, and at the first opportunity, this is his fault.
I don't understand it. That, like I said, there's no facts about it. They're nice people, they try and do the right thing. They may well have breached, which I think they have, but so what? Like, what I would ask these people who say sack the board, okay, then what? Then what are we doing? Do you want a Sheffield Wednesday-like owner? Do you want a Cardiff-like owner? You know, what do you want? The people that run this club at the minute are such a rare breed. Top is such a rare breed. That family have totally bought into this like it's their own city.
Mm-hmm.
And people really take that for granted. And I'm really getting quite sick to death of, if people make a mistake, your head should roll. Why are we in that? Why do we always think like that? Like, Enzo loses three on the bounce and people are talking about maybe he's not a good manager. It's so impatient and so ruthless with some of the things that happen. I'm glad that these people are nowhere near running my club, because bloody hell, we'd be changing chairman like we change our underpants.
Like Watford. In effect.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want a Watford? I don't really understand what the alternative is. It's all like throwing out there that you want him sacked, but then what? Then what does that look like? It's really disrespectful. Most clubs in the league will be breached. I guarantee it.
If he hadn't bought the ground back, where would we be?
Yeah, made it as easy game, instead, didn't they? They made us debt free. And I just I just think it's like stupid sometimes. And people make mistakes.
Yeah, but if it was me and I was getting that sort of stick, I'd probably say, okay, if that's what you want, I'm off, but can I have my money back?
Yeah, yeah, simple. Exactly. You know,
and well, it's not as pathetic as some of these people.
These are some of the replies that came after that. L said we would be in a better position. All he's done is slowly erode the good work previously done at the club. How can you not see that? Jack said we wouldn't be in this mess for a start. And of course, it had to get one at the end there. The only ones that let us down is Rudkin and Whelan for handing out contracts to players on massive wages. Philip Doherty, what are you smoking? I mean, where have you been? I mean, these are the same three people, I bet you, four people that, funny thing was, he applied to join Leicester.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mutt Delivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. I died Facebook group the other day. he got banned. But these are the things, Dave, that would probably be saying, like, you know, why aren't we competing at the top now we've won it? You know, why aren't we buying these players? Why aren't we doing that? You know, why are we letting all these players go to other clubs? Why aren't we trying to keep hold of them? They change the narrative depending on what suits them.
I think we do try.
But that's what they'd be saying. That's what they'd be saying.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd have gone out and spent the money properly, if you like, properly. And I'm guessing here, but you know, if we hadn't done that, these people would have been moaning, well, we're not being very ambitious, are we? We won it 10 years ago. Why aren't we competing at the top?
Well, I think they were that summer, weren't they? Or that whenever it was.
Well, no. I'm not getting back. Let me move over to Kate. Kate, do you get what I'm saying here? These people that are moaning would have been moaning if we hadn't done that and spent the money.
Yeah. After the 2 5th place finishes and then the 8th place finish, if Topper had come out and said, look, because of the purse strings, we cannot spend a bean, and that means we're probably on the cusp of getting relegated next season or the season after. How do you feel about that as a fan? There would have been uproar, absolute uproar. They'd have said, well, we're 5th and 8th. That's absolutely unacceptable to be anywhere near the bottom of the league. They'd have absolutely kicked off. I don't know what the opposite is. I think I read somewhere we had the 7th or 8th highest wage bill last year in the Premier League. So we should have, because we were a top 8 for the 3 years prior. What, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
I mean, Dave, where do you see the blame? I mean, we were charged, first of all, with not producing our accounts. We don't have to, because as I was trying to explain to that gentleman who's on later, is that... Yes, we may. Well, let me ask you this, Dave. Sorry. Is it not a case that, is it 14 out of the 20 have to agree for something to pass?
Yeah.
So we may not have even agreed to all these rules.
Well, I don't think if you're not in the club, you should stick to their rules. And we're not in that club. Isn't that the point?
We were at the time. And that's the point that he was making. He said Leicester signed up to this, but maybe we didn't have any choice. Was it 14? Well, it's 6 of those are the big 6, so that's half of that 14 straight away.
Yeah,
if they signed up to this, even if we said no, we're still going to be dragged into it, aren't we?
That's a majority, isn't it? You can't help that. But if we're not in that club, you know, when we're being fined, how can they fine us?
They can fine
because
us
because it happened when we were there.
The three seasons that they were looking at included Premier League ones. The problem is, Kate, is that we didn't sign up to the new fast track rules.
Yeah, we haven't signed up to the new fast track rules. And also, I think there's some ambiguity about the rules being applied if a club is in breach but actually got relegated. I'm really curious to see if the rules have been written for that to apply, because we paid the ultimate price, one could argue, because the apparently is supposed to stop sporting advantage, not that we gained any bloody sporting advantage.
No.
But I'm curious as to see whether the rules actually accommodate a team being relegated, because it falls between two stones. The EFL can't have us, and it doesn't look like the Premier League can have us. And I'm thinking that they might be thinking, shit, there's a loophole. We've not covered that point. So that's where Leicester are saying, well, we're stand our ground, mate. And to quote quite a funny example, it's going to be like the OJ Simpson putting the glove on in court. You might be in breach. Everyone knows you're in breach. But if you don't go about protocol correctly, you walk out the door.
Yes. But I agree. But I could say, you know, we may have had to go along with it, but that doesn't mean that we had, you know, that we signed up willingly for it. But look, yeah,
I'm looking forward to hearing how much we've breached by. Definitely. The accounts state that we've done this. Oh. I don't think we've heard anything like that.
Dave, you know, when you passed your driving test,
oh, yes.
Did you actually drive the car?
No.
Kate, when you passed your driving test, let me ask a sensible one. Kate, when you passed your driving test, were you in the car?
Yes.
So basically, they didn't come to you before you got in the car and say you failed. So how can they come along and say you've done this when we haven't produced our accounts yet? Because we don't have to produce our accounts because we're now in a different league.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the stipulation that we're trying to get them on the hook for.
It just seems crazy to me, absolutely crazy.
The whole thing is crazy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But is it just us that can see that? Or is it, you know...
It doesn't work. If you breached in a season... In common sense world, it should be you get punished in that season.
Yeah.
What happens is that the accounts aren't ready because they've stupidly put the year end of the accounts as the end of June when the season closes, and people haven't got enough time to audit their accounts before the start of the new season. So why have you made the accounts year end the end of June? If you breach during the season, you should get punished during that season. And if that means relegation or whatever, we got relegated last year. So that's our punishment. In 2 years' time, if we don't get promoted this year, or if we get promoted next year, you can't then apply the punishment retrospectively 2 years on. What bonkers world is that?
Premier League. Well,
somebody said earlier, and I just checked, Nottingham Forest are actually appealing against their points deduction, which is funny because they got a reduced points deduction because they cooperated.
That makes me feel like money's changed hands. You be good little boys and you get 2 points off. That is another absolute surefire symptom of corruption.
Yeah. Apparently they breached it by 35 million. I do feel, and I said that again on the show last night, that Dave, it is the small clubs that are getting done, or it's like a bully in the playground. I'm not going to pick on Manchester City because they're big. I'm not going to pick on Chelsea because they're big. And I've got to say fair play to the guy from Brentford, because he actually made the point is with Chelsea or Man City, well, why not just do one or two? Why not slowly work your way through them?
We've been done for one charge. Do them for just one. Mm.
But I do feel Everton, Leicester and Nottingham Forest, when you look at the clubs, and Everton, no disrespect to them, aren't the club that they used to be. They're not one of the big six now. They seem to be those clubs that are the little skinny boys in the corner of the playground that are being picked on.
Well, the other thing I can think of is that it's so complicated to go through Man City's accounts and financial statement that you just wouldn't do it. There's nobody intelligent enough in the Premier League to do it. So, you know, it's probably easier to get clubs like Leicester, Forest, Everton, whoever's next, to sort their accounts out and find out that they
sounds like a diversion tactic to me from Man City. Let's, if we're not going to mess up, we're going to mess up 115 times because they won't be bothered to get through all that paperwork and all those figures. In the meantime, we're winning Champions League. We're probably going to win our fourth Premier League on the trot. So if we get found guilty, who's having the winners' medals? Does the second get promoted to first? Do you rehash the Champions League draw that was a favourable Champions League draw? Like, when does it stop? When does it stop?
Well, it doesn't. And by that time, Pep's retired, so he's okay.
I think when you look at them, I just think they're very, very good at putting things through companies, via other companies, via an offshore company.
Creative accounting.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So
seven-year contracts was a great example of creative accounting.
But go Nottingham Forest and definitely, definitely appeal.
That's so interesting, though, because Forest got done, what was it, a week ago?
Yes.
And you think they would have appealed straight away because they would have probably had their story and their plan, regardless of what happened. They'd have had a plan thinking, if this happens, we're going to appeal. But it's really interesting they do it the working day after us.
Well, this is what I was thinking, Dave. I mean, I, as you know, I write for the BBC on a Tuesday.
Why do I do it the wrong way?
Wrong way.
Any way is the right way, Kate.
My way is the only way. Let me just tell you that. And I actually sent it off today. And they did ask that we do something about, because there's no match this last weekend, they said, would you do sort of a run up to the end of the season, what your hopes and aspirations are for? And I went, well, can I do mine on all this with, you know, what's going on at the club? And they went, oh, yeah, good idea sort of thing. So I sent it off earlier today, and they went sending me back saying, can't use that, and we can't say that because you can't accuse the Premier League of being biased, and you're not allowed to do that. I'm like,
it's a viewpoint.
He's, well, apparently,
he's not wrong, you know, wrong, as long as he's not offensive.
You know, it was my sixth draft when I'd taken all the swear words out, which sort of half the number of words. I was supposed to write 200 and I didn't get up to 230. I said, look, just please print it in the way because it runs with the story. Oh, you can't do that. And can you do this as well at the end? And it's like, you can't. And I know they have to watch what they say, you know.
But they're not saying it, it's the fans' view.
Yes,
I don't want
a lawyer after me, but you know, I do get it. But again, would a Manchester City fan have been able to say something? You know, I just feel like it's always pick on the small boys.
Yeah,
easy to do, isn't it? Until they meet top, and that's why I'm like, go on top.
Yeah, but do you? How's it go, Kate?
Go on top.
But do you think, Dave? Like, you know, we've got that trophy. It will never be done again. We've seen from what they said in The Independent that, you know, the top six have said, we're not going to let that happen again. But it gave other teams, and this I think was one point they may have allowed me to leave in. I said, you know, that allowed other teams and other fans to dream. We did that, and other fans could dream that one day might be them. If we stand up as we are doing, are we the club that's standing up and saying, this is the line in the sand, we've had enough? Do you think other teams are going to get behind us? Another team?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? You'd hope so. Certainly Forest and Everton. Maybe one or two others who are still coming on the, you know, on the stage. But I think it just always keeps coming back to arrogance. The fact that these top clubs are untouchable. I mean, where do Tottenham stand on this? Because they're not a top club. I mean, they must have spent a fair bit.
They're in the alleged top six, aren't they?
By whom?
And I do get it. I do get it.
Why?
Because of viewers, I guess, and they were one of the top ones when the Premier League was started. And I do get, from the Premier League's point of view, it's a business, and they are going to get more people watching Manchester United playing Manchester City than they're going to be watching Leicester playing Brentford. I get that totally. And I also get the fans' annoyance about, oh, we're on telly again, and oh, it's 8 o'clock kickoff on a Monday. But this is because we're successful. If we weren't successful, Sky, TNT and all the others wouldn't want us on there. So it kind of goes with the success. When we won the Premier League, all our games were changed and we were playing after Tottenham. It goes with success. But I want to go through here, Kate, and this is, who is Nick DeMarco? Now, there's a question for you. Answers on a postcard. Apparently, he is the Lionel Messi of sports barristers that's representing Leicester City.
Oh, is he?
The lawyer has already successfully represented City before in their dispute with the EFL over the winter, and his services have been employed once again for their legal proceedings. Let's have a look what we're saying here.
I watched a very small clip of him last week on some podcast or some interview. It was only a couple of seconds, and it was like, I think it was filmed at the start of last week. And he just did a thing and he quickly said, oh, I've not had a chance to have a look at something or other, I think he said, because I've been really busy this week. And I was like, yeah, you have.
He probably has with us, yeah. The name Dick DeMarco has become a familiar one, both in the world of English football and in the world of Leicester City. The sports barristers represented more than 45 clubs across the Premier League and the EFL, and one of his latest achievements is to help City in their battle with the governing bodies. On Friday, having been charged, blah, 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 City announced we're issuing legal proceedings. DeMarco certainly has experience in representing clubs in their fights with the Premier League and EFL and is successful. He has been described by football finance expert Kieran Maguire as the football lawyer version of Lionel Messi. In 2020, DeMarco helped Sheffield Wednesday in their battle with the EFL over PSR, first managing to defer a points deduction, then getting it reduced from 12 points to 6 in the same year. He helped Stevenage avoid a points deduction and managed the same with Derby County a year later. He then worked alongside Newcastle and Mike Ashley to help in their dispute with the Premier League over the Saudi takeover for the club. This guy, Kate, I mean, he knows what he's doing. We haven't got just sort of somebody from up the high street in Leicester, have we? You know, from High Cross or anything.
No, and would you expect anything less than top? I know that he would do it right and he'd do it as much as whatever money could buy, he'll buy it because he has got the funds personally to fund this legal suit if he needs to. That, you know, it shows that we mean business. And I just think in myself that I wish all Leicester fans would see it from the point of view that regardless of the breach, that if Top really didn't feel like he could win or the Premier League were doing wrong, he wouldn't be doing this case. And that's where all Leicester fans should stand, because at the end of the day, every single fan can probably agree these rules are absolutely unfit for purpose. They are completely biased. Every Leicester fan will say that. So it's not a surprise when clubs go over spending or go over their budget or whatever it is. You're only allowed to put, I think, 15 million quid in of your own money each year, which is absolute pittance. 15 million quid, that's how much Alan Shearer cost in 1996. I know that for a fact.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. But it's so unfair and unjust to pick on these clubs. All the clubs you've mentioned there are those clubs that have tried to move up the food chain. The ones at the top never get picked on. They can't be in breach because they're just preserved. It's completely preserved.
Says here, Dave, where are we? Even before the current cases City are set to go through, DeMarco has already been successful in defending the club. They won their appeal against the EFL in January when the governing body tried to subject the club to a business plan. You're not going to do all this if you're not pretty confident of winning, are you?
Well, he has represented a lot of clubs. You mean Leicester or him?
Both of them. We're not going to go down this route if we don't think we've got a good chance to win.
He'll get paid if he loses. But Leicester wouldn't. No, they wouldn't spend a ridiculous amount of money if they didn't think they had a case. The only worry for me is that it drags on and on and on and on. And it's still going this time next year.
Yeah.
When we're fighting to stay in the Premier League, maybe.
But at least then, possibly we might be there. And I know a lot of clubs are coming in, fans are coming in and saying, oh, you are the ones that are going to sue Everton, blah, blah, blah. We felt we weren't in trouble. And let's see whether we do, what is the outcome of it? Because, you know, everybody is judging this by, like you say, you're guilty by social media, aren't you? All I would say is, you know, Everton have been done, Forest have been done, Leicester have been done. Watch over your shoulder. Who could be next?
Well, I was wondering if Leeds are on the list.
I've heard that as a whisper. Bournemouth are apparently in the sights.
Yeah, they must be. They must
be. Probably going to have the likes of Luton, because how the hell are Luton? They've had to do so much work on their stadium to get ready. It's just
wrong, isn't it? It's wrong.
When it feels wrong, it's wrong. And if it looks like a duck, talks like a duck, walks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
It's a chicken.
That's foul, Dave.
It goes back to what you heard. That's what you said, Kate. Football fair play rules were here to stop clubs going bust.
Chris loves this.
I know. Love it. To stop clubs going bust.
City have said in their statements they are fighting for the right of all clubs to pursue their ambitions. And in DeMarco, they have a lawyer who has spoken out against the nature of the regulations. He told the Sports Law podcast this year, financial fair play rules in football are not justified on the basis of competitive balance. And there's a very strong argument that they are anti-ethical too, because of what they do is to allow you to spend more if you earn more. So they project the status quo.
I didn't read that quote at the time. I didn't realise that was him. Antithetical, he said, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Antiethical. Yes. Yeah. He was married to my Uncle Bob. Sorry. Yeah. Oh my! I love my Auntie Ethel.
My mother-in-law was called Ethel. She was married to Sid, so I know that works. Uncle Sid, father-in-law Sid, which is what we named our tortoise after.
Of course you did.
Because he's a grumpy old bugger as well.
But look, I mean, it is all about, I mean, I put on here, I mean, I put my cover out the other day was FFP, PSR, WTF. I mean, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, we could be talking about PPI. You know, who knows with all these acronyms? Although I did think that was something you only got if you went swimming.
That's
PPL. I just think we're not going to be the end. You know, why? And this might be a little bit controversial. But why not just spend what you've got, Kate? If you're bought by a rich club, fine. You should be allowed to put your money in. It's your money. It's your company's money, if that's what you want to do. It doesn't guarantee you success always, does it?
Not at all. That's what business is all about. When Steve Jobs created Apple, he would have pumped a lot of his own money in. There wouldn't have been restrictions on how much money he would have been able to input into Apple. And he invested, and it worked out okay for Apple, didn't it? I've heard they've done quite well for themselves. Why can't other companies do the same? Other owners of companies do the same.
Oh, blimey, have they?
Because they don't want anybody in, do they?
Still on it.
Blimey. Apple, call
just laugh,
blimey.
Kate, just laugh. Humour the boy.
Do you not find that one very appealing? Apparently, if you go shoplifting in an Apple store, it's called scrumping. Anyway, we should move on. This is what they're doing for, you know.
I feel like I'm going to crumble.
We've got her. She's
anyway. Anyway, if Trot wants to put in loads of money, why can't he put in loads of money?
Yeah.
How much do you reckon Abramovich put into Chelsea in 2003? Yeah. 2003, before all these rules came into place, so that's nicely convenient, isn't it? 2008, the Man City owners bought in and put however
money laundering. Nobody did anything about it. If you do that in financial services, you're screwed.
Absolutely,
never work again.
Absolutely.
Well, you two would know.
What frustrates me is that there's no sort of level starting point for these rules being brought into place. So Manchester City and the like have started off with these rules coming into play when they're hundreds of millions ahead in turnover revenue and cash injections than say Forest And Forest are expected to compete on the same playing field and in the same league and buy the same kind of players for the same kind of money, and they're not allowed to put money into their own business. It doesn't feel right, does it?
No, and Forest was struggling, weren't they? I mean, they had a team of loanees. What were they supposed to do, play with 10 men?
Yeah, you know, and then they get money against really... not fielding a team.
They had no option
for that.
You could say it's bad planning in the Championship to have a team of loanees, but you know they did that to get promoted, which they deserved. But you can't
you do what you have to do, don't you?
Of course you do. You can't penalise them then for buying players. Okay, yeah, they're a bit OTT, weren't they? But that's not the point. You're right.
As long as you can meet your debts, as long as you don't owe the revenue money, I'm not at all in favour of clubs that owe the revenue money, because I wouldn't be allowed off by the taxman. So nobody else should be. As long as you don't owe people and you can meet your debts on an ongoing basis with repayments from elsewhere, I don't have a problem with it.
Trading insolvently is a loose term, because that means that you cannot pay your debts off. If you've got a rich owner, in theory, you should never trade insolvently, because that owner will pay off your debts. And that's part of the business. So it all comes a bit of a nonsense, really. This is what Man City's argument is. Well, we've got a massive corporation behind us. So
I used to work in the travel business. And back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a lot of companies, Intersun, Clarkson's, all going out of business and people being stranded abroad. And ABTA, I don't know if it's still going, Association of British Travel Agents, used to repatriate. If you were with Clarkson's and Clarkson's, when Clarkson's went bust and you were stuck out in Salou or somewhere like that, ABTA guaranteed to get you home one way or another. You would not be out of pocket. You'd obviously lost your holiday, but you would, you know, not be out of pocket in getting home. And the way that they did that was all the travel companies had to put a bond up. So depending on the size of the travel company, they had to put a bond. So the bigger the company, the bigger the bond. So that if anything like that ever happened, or if you hadn't gone on the holiday yet, you could get your money back, etc. So you were never ever out of pocket, but that bond was there, regulated by ABTA for that case. Do you think, Kate, that is what we need, maybe this new independent regulator to put in place?
Yeah, I do. And I heard Simon Jordan's point on that in Talk Sport last week, that he was arguing that they'd almost have like a slush or a contingency fund to set aside. So if the shit does hit the fan, then they can pull on it during harder times. So I think that could potentially work. I think there could also be a league contingency for clubs that struggle during the league. That has a similar place in financial services with the Pension Protection Fund, where pensions have to contribute to the Pension Protection Fund and the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. But if a bank goes bust again, like Northern Rock, these contingency plans are set in place for people that struggle but still need to function for the good of their fans, employees and everything else. So football just doesn't want to do that. The big boys don't want to share the slice of pie, do they? They don't even want to pass it down to the footballing pyramid at the minute, because they're using the excuse of FFP to get around it. So I just think that it's really dangerous having greedy people in this setup, because greediness promotes corruption and it's just a vicious cycle to break, because money is probably passing hands and it's always a party that is invite only.
And Dave, I said on that show that when the Premier League was formed, that was the start of the downfall. And look, our football is good because of the pyramid, that teams can dream. You know, Mark Sagers, whose show I was on, he supports Cambridge. They've been in the top flight before now. Look at Luton now. Whether they stay up or not is another matter. But they've had a season when they've been dining at the top table, and they will enjoy that. But we're not even supporting the clubs like we used to. We used to support these clubs by buying their prospects from them. Do you remember? And we could go and do that at any time of the year. I mean, do you think, you know, we should get rid of the transfer windows and maybe say that clubs have got to buy so many players from lower leagues? Or do you think we should be having parent clubs?
Well, I've never liked the transfer window. That's another Sky Sports thing, because it, you know, it's their baby, isn't it? Whether they bought it in or not is irrelevant, but it's benefited them. I also wouldn't like not having a transfer window if we've got players that teams want. So I'm a bit of a hypocrite on that one. I think the Premier League, when it came in, I didn't know what all the fuss was about. It was just Division One reduced by, what, two teams or four teams or something like that.
You got cheerleaders as well. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, of course you did. I remember because it's great watching women you can hardly see dance around in the cold with knickers on.
Mate, hey, don't you knock it. Some of us, mate. You know?
Little things. They were the foxy ladies, weren't they?
Yes.
Well, it's
yes.
a bit embarrassing looking through binoculars.
But you were a foxy lady, Kate.
No, my friend from school was a girl I went to school with. She was a foxy lady.
Yeah.
What's Can I name? Say, I have got a story about the foxy ladies. I'm going to do a Unless day here.
I'm going you to got do a phone number?
No. I'm going to do a day here and go off on one because I can't remember the full story, but this is true. Apparently there was a thing in the Mercury about it. It was one of the foxy ladies who was very young and very shy, went on, she moved to America apparently and became a porn star. And
she sounds really shy.
Yeah, I'm going to say. But she became a porn star and made vast amounts of money. Now, somebody will say whether that is true, but apparently you can Google it. It does exist. I have read the story. And it
I think if you Google anything, it'll exist, to be honest.
This is true. No, this was told to me by a very, very reliable source.
You say she wants to invest. She wants to invest in the club. Back to her roots.
Who was it? There was another one. She was an American singer. She went to Cuba and she was doing an advert or getting paid, but then she couldn't get back into the States because she owed tax money. And so she put the money into porn films. Again, she's this huge star. Anyway,
if all else fails, porn will take you.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Dave always manages to get me onto porn.
Can I just ask one question?
Oh, God.
Well, not just one, but this one. 777 Group, did I see something where the Premier League had written to them saying they were of mind to accept their or approve their takeover, but it's not been pushed through the relevant committees or the independent regulator. But the Premier League have written to them saying they're of mind to approve it. So how does that work? I mean, this is a company that have been vilified for their actions in America and by the fact that they're all sorts of sleaze going on.
Oh, is this taking over Everton?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pleased for Everton, but where's the standards there?
Decision being made next week.
But the Premier League have written to them, apparently. So how can they do that when it's not been agreed? This is all the premature stuff that's going on.
But look, they were premature with us, weren't they? Charging us before we even put our account.
That's what I'm saying. It's all hearsay, and what it does, it fuels up people like us and football supporters. I mean, Everton have been living with this for a year or two, the takeover.
Yeah.
And, you know, it must be so frustrating for them.
Yeah. To end on this point, it's a good point. I'll come to you with it first, Kate. I don't see what that says, but he said, maybe do the American way and having wage caps and transfer caps.
Yeah, I think that is possibly what was the way forward in the first place, but I feel the horse has bolted now. And I think the American way, with I presume he means NFL and stuff, is that the NFL is a closed sport, isn't it? Whereas in football, you've got markets from all over the world that have got different interchangeable rules. So it's really hard to put into place. I would love to see what Dave said there. I'd love to see the banish of the transfer window, because it just creates absolute chaos and it just becomes monopoly money that is not ever paid. We're not going to get 90 million or what we got for Harry Maguire. We're not getting that as a cheque from Manchester United in the post, are we? We're not getting 80 million for Fofana in one instalment because people can't afford it. The transfer window is the crux for me, rather than wage caps and transfer caps. I just don't see how you'd ever implement it now, because players are just not going to go for it. And it's going to be across Europe and the world that you'd have to do it all the same, whereas America's such a closed sport with NFL and baseball and the like.
Dave, good point made by Kate.
Always.
It is... that whatever you come up with, you're not going to please, as somebody once said, all of the people all of the time. It's just not going to happen, is it? Whatever they can come up with, It's like the 14 out of 20 Premier League rule.
I think what gets me more than anything is people using our game to benefit their own. Like Sky with his transfer window, it's such a big thing for them, both transfer windows. I mean, they have run-ups to it a month or so in advance every day.
Oh, Jim White's made his career out of it with his yellow tie.
Yeah. And you think, you know, why? And do we really care? Of course we care about buying players, but it's just
they're
so
a cog in the wheel, aren't they? Their TV coverage and rumour mill is what drives the price.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I mean, how many times have we been signing a player for about 2 months before we did or didn't sign him?
Like with Forest, they know that letting go of Brennan Johnson in the June, which would have been in their accounting period for 30 million, they know that they could whip up the rumour mill a bit, create a bit more interest. Brennan changed agents in the meantime, and then they got 50 million for him. So it was worth the wait, 2 months wait for 20 million quid more. It's penalised them in their accounts this year. But that's all because Sky, the media, the transfer window and how it works, it's unpredictable.
And they got penalised for it.
And they've got penalised for it now.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
So you're the victim of your own rules and your own success because you've waited to get 20 million more for a player over an 8-week period, which is an amazing bit of business.
Yeah.
But you broke the rules. It doesn't really seem to add up. Sorry, the pun.
Is it just too complicated now, Kate?
Yeah, I can't. There's not enough digits on my calculator anymore.
No, but I mean, the whole, you've got, you know, every rule's got like 25 subsections. I mean, it's just.
And that's just the offside rule.
Oh, no, I'm just on about, yeah. But I'm on
no,
about
I know, I'm joking. But that's just what I mean. No, it gets so right. convoluted. There's so many rules. Football is a simple game for working class folk, ultimately. And this has just took it to a whole new stratosphere. It's probably like suits behind the scenes in the Premier League offices. Like, it's just. It's become silly, and there's so many clauses, sub clauses. We just want to play football and compete and beat the big boys.
Working class people, there, like them two, there.
You two look so young.
Oh, we are. Oh. You wait, Kate. You don't know what's coming up.
Just see what's going to happen, can't you? You'll end up if they do all the rules the way they're trying to. They have Man City in the Northern Premier League, Chelsea are playing the Isthmian League, Fulham will be the biggest club in London. You know, I mean, where do you stop? And this is the danger, they could implode.
Things that are included and excluded, like Forest couldn't draw any parachute payments, so they couldn't draw on any money from there. Right. You've got West Ham, who paid £2.5 million quid only for their stadium.
Yeah.
That's not fair. You've got so many uneven surfaces throughout the league as a starting point. There's just almost no point having any rules.
No.
What's the opposite to even?
it was level, wasn't it? Unlevel.
Unlevel.
Unlevel. I didn't know the opposite to level. So it's unlevel.
But yeah, it is all totally silly.
Just feel exasperated as fans. You're like, well, what we're supposed to do then?
Yes.
We spent a whole hour and a half talking about it and not football.
Yeah.
And that kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. No, it does, exactly.
And this is what happens.
In all honesty, I've got to say, if it hadn't been for this, we wouldn't have had a show tonight because it's the international break. So it's kind of given us something to talk about. It's like anything else. It's like the transfer window. As much as I hate it, it gives me a show twice a year. You know, because I'm there. Don't take my eyes off it all day, and then I do a show for the last 2 hours. We don't bloody sign anybody, but if it wasn't for that.
Oh dear! You've done a 12-hour show for Harry Suter. I love it.
Yeah. at least I didn't do a 12-hour show for what was he called from Wolves?
Who was that?
Bennett.
Yes. Yeah. Ryan Bennett.
Ryan Bennett.
What a signing that was.
Oh, that's another cracker. I'd forgotten about him.
Yes. He's related to...
He couldn't run. I don't know what medical he had, but he couldn't run.
No.
But look, thank you very much, both of you. Do join us at 9 o'clock, everybody. We will be talking, as you can see there, a Q&A session with Gavin McCaw. He was an ex, well, yeah, he was an ex-director of marketing and communications at the Football League, the EFL. Hopefully he's going to give us some answers. He said, what do I want from him? And I said, just to put everything in English and explain it all to us, please.
So play nicely.
If I'm not on the show in the morning, Dave, you know, I've been up all night and I'm still, doing this.
You know. Play nicely, Chris, yes.
9 o'clock.
Send Kate round.
Oh, that's a promise. That's a promise.
That's a serious threat.
Where can people find you? Obviously, apart from in Dave's back bedroom, but where can people where can they find you?
Mrs. Watching.
Watch this show. I'm Kate Blakey 40 on Twitter, so give me a follow on there.
Hello, Mum and Dad. I forgot you were in.
You always do. You always forget. It must have been a nightmare when you were courting.
Dave, Chris, where can people find you?
Well, actually, this Thursday, oh God, what have you done? This Thursday, on SurreyHillsCommunityRadio.co.uk at 5 till 7, it is the Kathy and Dave show.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Your wife,
Kathy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
She kicks my bottom when I swear. And it's Easter as well, so...
And that's why you keep swearing, is it?
Yeah, there'll be a bit of Easter Mickey taking. So if you're religious, don't watch. Don't even listen either. You can't
You can watch, but don't listen.
Get a few David.
He won't go to heaven, Dave. David. Not going there anyway, in fairness.
Have no intention
to go. You're in trouble, Dave. Is that, does she call you David? If you're in trouble.
Sharply.
Sharply.
In fact, a few people at the radio do now. They copy.
David.
Because I'm old, you see. They think they can just mess me about.
What was it you sent me? I've got to say, just very quickly, I'll leave you with this. I just want two things. DeMarco, our solicitor, it says here, to figuratively suggest DeMarco, that's a cafe in Bournemouth, to figuratively suggest DeMarco wrote the book on football law would be underplaying it. He literally wrote the book with the 1,000-page Football and the Law published in 2022. But I want to read. This was the chat I had this morning with Dave. Now, I know that, you know, Dave, he's getting on a little bit, so you have to sort of bear with him. But he sent me a message saying, I think you and me should be celebrities. We're talking about Celebrity Big Brother. I think you and me should be celebrities. No one would have heard of us either. Always fancied being an enforcer or whatever you call it. So I won't mention about him. Bouncer? Debt collector? He went, oh, no, a social media person who tells people what to do. I said, influencer. Oh.
Oh, it's a good effort, Dave. It's a good effort.
Thank you. I think I could do that.
I think you could do that better than you could be a enforcer.
If Dave was a social media influencer, the world would be much better for it.
Feel soft and cuddly. But anyway, he's got to get off because he's due down the nightclub for his bouncer job. Kate, Dave, thank you so very, very much.
I'll be watching tonight, Chris.
I will behave.
Get in. We'll be watching you. You'll be watching me.
Watching us, watching you, watching them.
What was that?
I can't remember. It's a load of bollocks, or whatever it was. Oh, was it
Life? Saturday Night Game for a Laugh.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I used to love that.
I'm too young.
You are indeed. You are
too young for many things, but that hasn't stopped Dave so far.
Too much too young.
On that note,
David.
See you later, guys. Thanks very much, as always.
Bye. See you, guys. Be good.
Bye-bye. We're always good. Oops, Kate's gone as well. There we go. Right. So, yeah, please do come back and check us out. 9 o'clock. It's going to be interesting. is the guy that you saw me on screen with earlier on Talk TV. He's going to join me at 9 o'clock. He's just confirmed he's coming on Q&A with Gavin McGaw, ex-director of marketing and communications at the Football League. It will be a question and answer, so I do need you to join us and get those questions in the chat, and I'll try and put as many to him as I can. Thanks so much for watching. If you have been watching, really, really appreciate it. If you've been listening via your favourite podcast station, thank you so very much for lending me your ears. And do if you are watching this on catch up on YouTube, add comments in below. You don't have to be a Leeds fan to do that. Anybody can do that. Just add your comments in below and we'll ignore them. No, we'll give them a read anyway. But thanks so much to everybody. Thanks to Dave and Kate. I will see you back here in half an hour. I need to go and do a poo. It's as simple as that. I'm being honest. I'm not lying. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Take care. And I'll see you in a couple of... I'll see you in 28 minutes. Take care.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.